May the word of God bring us to the God of his word. Amen. Please do sit down. A poem, Warning, written by Jenny Joseph. When I am an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat which doesn't go and doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say, there's no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in shops and press alarm bells and run my stick along the public railings and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick the flowers in other people's gardens and learn to spit. More of that later. In our reading from Acts today, we find Lydia, an apparently successful woman. Lydia is a seller of purple cloth, though it doesn't say if she wore it with red. She's an unusual character in that she is a financially secure woman in Philippi, a culture which would have been a man's world. She owns her own business and her own home. She deals in the material from the well-known textile city of Thyatira, where we're told Lydia is from. Thyatira is renowned for its purple dye. To get the colour purple in those days, it took thousands of mollusks, tiny little crustaceans, to be crushed up to make just enough dye for a yard or two of purple cloth. Nice. My vegetarian daughter would have a problem with this. Purple clothing was a mark of wealth and royalty in the Roman world. To be dressed in purple was to say, I am rich, powerful, and influential. No doubt Lydia relocated to Philippi to ply her trade because it was an important Roman colony in Macedonia. It was a Rome away from Rome. As such, an important commercial location on land and sea routes, and very much an influential city in the region. But let's backtrack a little. Here we find Paul receiving a vision in the night, a man telling him to come to Macedonia to help us. Now, you might think that getting a vision from God would make everything clear, but even a vision requires interpretation. More to the point, it requires a community of faith. Famously, at this first point in Acts, the narrator actually joins in with the story. He becomes one of the characters. You'll notice it suddenly says, we set sail. The author is part of the story. So it's Lydia's trade that brings her to Macedonia, and it's Paul's missionary travels that brings him to Macedonia. But of course, it's the Holy Spirit who brings them together. Having arrived at Philippi, Paul and his companions decide to remain there for a few days. For whatever reason, Philippi doesn't seem to have a large population of Jews, so there isn't a Jewish synagogue, which would have been the normal place for Paul to preach the gospel. There has to be at least 10 Jewish men who are heads of households and regularly attend services to establish the synagogue. If there were no synagogue, a place of prayer was to be established. It says, under the open sky and near a river or the sea, because water was needed for purification rites. So, on the Sabbath, Paul and his companions head down to the riverside to find a Jewish place of prayer. It's here Paul crosses paths with Lydia. The text says there were also a group of women who sat there. Now, wait a minute. It was a man who appeared to Paul in his vision asking for help, but here we find the Apostle Paul ministering to a group of women. In history, an anonymous rabbi is once quoted as saying, it is better that the words of the law be burned than be delivered to a woman. But things didn't turn out as Paul expected. The thing is, God intends the gospel for all people, regardless of gender, status, colour, or creed. There's an irony in this passage. Paul and his companions were called to Macedonia by a man, but in Philippi, they only encounter women. And the one woman who is converted is not even Macedonian. Doesn't God have a great sense of humour? I wonder if Paul had been sent a vision of a strong woman asking him to come and help, whether Paul would have gone. That's possibly suggesting Paul was tricked by God and therefore highly heretical. We can scrub that out of the recording after this sermon. Back to Lydia. She may be bucking the trend of time. She's a strong, independent woman. And surprisingly, in a society structured by patriarchy, there's no mention of a husband or any other male authority. And she's able later, on her own authority, to open her home to Paul and his companions. Yet she's down by the river, searching for a deeper truth. Here we're told the Lord opened her heart. So what's this got to do with us? Well, two things, I think. Firstly, we need to be open like Lydia and Paul. When you say your prayers, let the Lord open your heart. Paul's heart was open to receiving the vision to go anywhere God called him. He was open to sitting down with a group of women and teaching them. Very unusual thing to do in those days. And we mustn't gloss over the fact that the Holy Spirit still gives visions today. As we should pray, we should seek not just words from God, but pictures and signs to share with one another. Paul's vision sucked the author into the story. That's how powerful it was. We set off. Sharing what God is saying as he opens our hearts is such an encouragement as we journey together. I've found in my own spiritual journey that when I've prayed with people and someone has received a picture, that's the thing that always stays with me, often for years. Lydia's heart was open to hearing the truth despite her successful and independent lifestyle, and despite the fact that becoming a Christian was going to present huge challenges and potentially damage her business. She was taking on a new identity which would have been alien to those for whom she had dealings. It's the same for us. Being Christian means living in a different way from some of those we have dealings with, particularly in the workplace or in our finances. However, we must ask, what are we trying to grow? Our own empires or spiritual fruit which will last? A legacy of generosity, love, and morals that we can pass down through generations. I love the saying that the Bible is not just a book of rules, it's a bag of seeds. If your heart is closed to what's written in the book, there's no seed sown. And when no seed is sown, there's no harvest. Like Paul, can you let your heart be open to the new spiritual experiences? Like Lydia, can you let your heart be open and put aside your personal empire and concentrate on building kingdom values? How do we do this? Or maybe go to prayer ministry today and as you kneel down, ask the Lord to open your heart. Or take a moment when you get home, go up to your room, shut the door and pray the Lord will open your heart. If you live with another Christian, do it together. Be expectant. So firstly, let the Lord open your heart. Then secondly, let the Lord open your home. What we learn from Lydia is that as her heart was opened to the gospel, this led to her home being opened to offer hospitality. After being baptized, Lydia begs Paul and his companions to come to her house and stay. She says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house." The word translated judge means to form or give an opinion. She's saying to Paul, "Come to my house, see the change, see that I'm a Christian." The author also says that Lydia prevailed upon Paul and his companions to stay with her and accept her hospitality. There's only one other place in the New Testament where this word is used. It's in Emmaus on Easter evening, where the two travelling disciples urge Jesus to come and stay with them. Perhaps the verbal echo is not accidental. For us, there ought to be some evidence of a changed life, and it starts in our home, possibly one of the hardest places to be a Christian. In my experience, it's in our marriages and our parenting and our caring for others, when it's both easiest and hardest to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, and so on. As Lydia offered hospitality, she demonstrates that once your heart has been open to the gospel, your home is open to hospitality, and you can live a life motivated by faith and not fear. Lydia is a woman motivated by faith, not fear. Fear would have caused Lydia not to trust these strange men carrying a strange message about a strange man called Jesus. Fear would have caused Lydia to refuse to open her heart and her home. Fear would have caused Lydia to consider the repercussions of her decision in terms of her business. Fear would have caused Lydia to keep herself to herself and hoard what she had. But thank God, Lydia is a woman motivated by faith and not fear. As we open our hearts, we're called to open up everything, and the hospitality of our homes is a big part of that. People should come in and see changed lives and receive from us. We should not be afraid about what people think. Also, if we're living with people who are not Christians and haven't received this call this morning, we might have to persuade them. Lydia went back to our whole household and they were all baptized. It may be that they were not actually all converted. But in any case, her faith was so important to Lydia that they had to cope with the new Christian values, whether that was easy or not. So go home and think of somebody to invite round, preferably someone who doesn't come to church. If it seems right, tell them why you've invited them. So 2 points. Ask God to open your heart and ask God to open your home. This may have its challenges. It's really not that hard. However, what worries me is that I'll preach this sermon, I'll throw out the seeds, the words of God, and your hearts will be closed and the seed won't grow. You'll remember the poem. When I'm an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat that doesn't go. Are we the ones who play safe and just wait until we're older or till an opportune time? Well, I'm afraid the gospel is full of people wearing purple and red. Let's hear the end of the poem. But now we must have clothes that keep us dry and pay our rent and not swear in the street and set a good example for our children. But maybe I ought to practice a little now. So people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I'm old and start to wear purple. I wonder what we've got to lose. Listen to the ways the Spirit of God is moving and open your heart. Let's take a chance and listen like Paul and Lydia did. Open our hearts and our homes and be like the merchant of purple cloth. But let's wear it with red. Shall we pray? Lord, help us to open our hearts to the visions that you might want to show us. Help us to open our homes and be people who are different, people who are distinctive, wearing red and purple. Help us to share your gospel with all who we meet. Amen.